Glory be to God. We're continuing our series on the God of the Bible, the God of the Bible. And we're going over the perfect perfections of God and who he is. And today we've been going over, or not today, but over the last few weeks, we've been going over the perfect perfection known as his sovereignty. And so today we're going to begin to get into an aspect of sovereignty. As we said, sovereignty is still the heading, but this subheading is going to be the providence of God. Providence of God. Let's open up by going back to the sovereignty of God foundation text. And let's turn over to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 13. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 13 through the 16th verse, talking about the sovereignty of God. Glory be to God. And it reads, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 13. And it reads, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and in the presence of Christ Jesus, who made the good confession before Pontius Pilate, to keep all his precepts without stain or reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which appearing he will bring about in his own time. He, God the Father, who is the blessed and only potentate, sovereign, absolute ruler, the King of those who reign as kings and Lord of those who rule as lords. He alone possesses immortality and lives in unapproachable light, whom no man has ever seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal power and dominion. Amen. So be it.
Amen.
We can't hear that enough. We can't hear it enough. To hear it again and again. In a nutshell, God being sovereign means that God does as he pleases, only as he pleases, always as he pleases, and there is no one that can thwart his purpose. No one can stop his hand. And in his working, he's working all things together for good. So that's all good news. Amen?
Amen.
Now let's turn to Revelation, which was the last verse we read last week concerning the sovereignty of God. Let's read that again before we get into the providence of God, which is connected to his sovereignty. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. Worthy are you, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and because of your will, they existed and were created. That's the verse we read last week concerning the sovereignty of God. All things were created because of the will of God for his purpose. Amen?
Amen.
Now, let's get into providence. We started it last week, come to think of it. Providence, again, is a Latin word that means, that's made up of two Latin words. Pro means before, and vide, which means to see. And this refers again to God's foresight. God sees and knows the future, having declared the end from the beginning. We went over Isaiah 46 and 10 again. God says, as he's speaking, I'm declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things which have not been done, saying, my purpose will be established and I will accomplish all my good pleasure. Calling a bird of prey from the east, the man of my purpose from a far country. Truly, I have spoken. Truly, I will bring it to pass. I have planned it. Surely, I will do it. Period. Then we talked about last week that this is not passive knowledge. God is not looking at the future as if it were a movie screen to learn what will happen. Rather, his knowledge of the future comes from his, remember we talked that word, foreordination, which means to determine or decide beforehand, in advance, ahead of time, whatsoever comes to pass. God determines and he decides before it ever happens whether or not this is going to happen or that is going to happen. God gets the final decision. Evil is not out of control. And by the way, evil, just a reminder, is not some separate force or entity that's floating in the earth. Evil is sin, and sin is a breaking or a transgression of God's law. We tend to see things as evil when somebody does something really bad. When you murder millions of Jews and 1.5 million of them, a million of them are children, that's evil. But in God's law, if you have sex outside of marriage, that's evil too. He determines all that comes to pass. He works all things according to the counsel of his will. Remember, we read that in Ephesians 1 and 11. He's not out there just haphazardly, capriciously, whimsically doing things. Amen. It's all done with a predetermined counsel and insight and foresight and wisdom. Everything he allows. We don't understand why he allows evil. We don't understand those things. But it's done completely according to his counsel. And as I remind you, don't be so blue out that you don't understand it. You got human beings living in your home that you've known for 40 years that you don't understand, let alone an infinite, almighty God. Amen. Part of faith is accepting that God knows what he's doing, even though I don't understand what he's doing. Even if I don't, in my little puny, finite brain, don't believe that what he's doing is good or he shouldn't do this. I mean, how dare us judge God? God should be doing it. If I was God, I wouldn't do that. But you're not God. No. And he is God. Yes. And his ways and his thoughts are far above ours. We need to keep reminding ourselves of that. Amen. Because then you can accept within yourself, okay, I'm not going to understand this. And I never will understand this. That's okay to never understand it. I never will understand why my dad was gone and when I was nine and five brothers and sisters and the criminal is still living. But I thank God I'm not angry. I'm not, like, it is what it is. He's working all things according to the counsel of his will. Not Greg's will. Not your will. Not my. No. His will. And that will, which involves his way, is far above ours. It's out of our. It's like your son, AJ, keeps reminding me of the example the Lord gave through myself, I don't know, some years ago. You know, if we told a five-year-old, here, take this money and this paper, which is your mortgage. You got your mortgage check and the mortgage, you know, send how much money. Tell the five-year-old, go take it to that person there, the teller, and give it to them and come back and we're going to leave. If I were to try to explain to that five-year-old what a mortgage is and why you have to pay it, he'll never get it. Even if God wanted to explain something to us, we would never get it. He'd have to enable us. We'd have to grow the child up to 25 years old suddenly, get to perform a miracle. We wouldn't get it if he told us. Faith is trusting God. It's unfortunate that the charismatic movement, the prosperity gospel, has taken faith and turned it into a tool, a conduit by which we get stuff from God. Because when we came up out of Word of Faith, that's all we understood faith to be, was a conduit to get something from God. It was a pipeline. I mean, they would use words like that. To get blessings from God. To come from God through faith to us. Faith was so distorted by the time I came out of there, is that I didn't even realize that it means, or didn't get the depth of what it really meant, which is to trust God, rely on God, depend on God. Faith is being fully persuaded that what God has promised, He has the power, the might, and the ability to perform that promise. Faith is being fully convinced that God is who He says He is. That's what faith is. And trusting Him through all of the storms and the sunny days, the same. I said trusting God the same through the storm, the rain, and the sunny days. The same, operative two words, the same. Amen. And as the old folks used to say, put that in your pipe and smoke it. That's the challenge. And because we don't like all that, things like the sovereignty of God, we don't want to hear it. Providence of God, don't want to hear it. I don't understand. You won't. Just believe it. Can you believe things you don't understand? Yes. Stevie Wonder, they're superstitious, right? You believe in things you don't understand and you suffer. That part is right. You're trying to understand it. And you're saying, I'm not going to believe it until I understand it. That's a fatal mistake. Because there are going to be a ton of things that God does and His ways that you will not understand. But He's calling on you to believe. You should just trust me. Trust me. I got you. Trust me. That's a word for somebody today in here. Trust me. I got you. You're trying to figure it out. You're not going to figure it out. You're not going to figure out how I'm going to do this. You're not going to figure out how I'm going to bring you out. You're not going to figure it out. So forget trying to figure it out. Just trust me. And rest in it. That's a word for somebody in here. You wrestling with trying to figure out how it's going to happen. You are causing undue, unnecessary stress on your body and your heart. Trying to figure out God. God got a billion ways to bring you out of your situation or to solve it, however word you want to use. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's already, you already know it's already worked out in God's economy of things, right? Yeah. You know, every problem, even the one that we haven't even seen yet, 10 years down the road, already worked out with God. Why? Because He's already looked ahead, seen it, happened already worked it out. The thing about it is, are we going to trust Him? So God, His knowledge of the future comes from His foreordination to determine or decide beforehand whatsoever comes to pass. He works all things according to the counsel of His will, which means His will establishes all that ever happens. I said His will establishes or determines all that ever happens. I said His will determines all that ever happens. Not your will, not my will, not the devil. Not the devil.
Amen.
Not the devil. God's will determines all that ever happens.
Hallelujah.
God is firmly in control. It's the devil trying to lie to us and say, God has lost control of this thing. The rabbit-eyed dog has broke away from the master and he's running all over the world wreaking havoc. You got problems in the government in Britain. You got escalation amongst the Arab nations. You have high incidence of lesbian homosexual activity like never before all over the world. You got folks saying, we don't care how we were born as far as biologically speaking. If I'm biological male, society is now giving me the right and will fight for me if I want to be a female and say I'm a female. Where is God? He's in the same exact place he was before all that started.
Amen.
He is still on the throne. The question is, do you believe it? And the Lord right now, he is really, as he's harping on this, he's challenging. I know we're talking about providence, but he's dwelling on faith. Do you trust God? You know, how much do you really trust God? Oh, I believe in God. Yeah, do you really? The Lord is challenging us this morning. Do you really believe me? Do you really trust me? Or are you just giving me lip service? Do you really trust me? We need to check our hearts by the power and providence and guidance and direction of the Holy Ghost. We need to check ourselves. Do we really believe God? Do we really trust God? Are we fully persuaded that God is who he said he is, says he is in Scripture? And that God, who he says he is in Scripture, do you believe that he is working out all things according to the counsel of his will? Do you really believe that? Do you really believe that God is working all things together for good? Do you really believe that? Or are those just verses in a Bible, in a book? I challenge you today, and I dare you to check yourself and say, Lord, do I really believe? Father God, I ask you right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that you expose our unbelief. Amen. If it's there, expose it. Expose the root of our unbelief. Amen. Fix us, for we are broken. Yes. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's read it again. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. Let's read it again. That's why we need to go over this and over this and over this and over this and over this. Verse 11, Ephesians chapter 1. Also, we have obtained an inheritance. Do you really believe that? Comma. Having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will. I guarantee you that if you can receive this in your heart, when tragedy strikes, you'll be able to deal with it a lot stronger and a lot firmer. Because your feet will be planted on much more solid ground. And that ground will be the ground of faith. Solid faith and knowledge and belief and conviction of who God really is. Yes, Lord, I really believe that you're working all things together. Even this horrible tragedy that I have now just been informed of, you're working it to your will. Now help me to stand. It doesn't mean not crying. We've gone over that many a time. You can cry till you faint. You can lose consciousness because of the news can be that bad. That's all fine. That's not a lack of faith. That's just being human. Do you understand that? That's not a lack of faith. It's just being human.
Amen.
So Somebody tell me that Brooke and Brianna been killed in a car accident and they were driving together. I would be shaking your head already. That's a terrible news. If I faint, fell out, that's fine. That's just the reaction on a human body. Has nothing to do with my faith.
Nope.
No, he is. And we as God's people, we need to really put our faith in God. We really do. And if there is ever a time that we need to have unshakable faith in God, it is now. These are some evil days. We were warned about it in the Word. Timothy 3 lets us know dangerous times are coming. Men will be lovers of themselves, haters of good, fierce, cannot be pleased, truce breakers. We're seeing all of that. Children being disobedient to parents. All of that, though, like when you hear that, you're like, yeah, Lord, that's happening. Then you come back to verse 11, the B portion. He is working all things after the counsel of his will. Like, okay, I'm good. I'm going to be all right now. Because you're working all this. All of it. Let's read the Heidelberg Catechism again from the 16th century. Remember, catechism is a series of questions and answers for use in teaching Reformed Christian doctrine. I gave you some examples like, who is God? And you say, who God is. what, you know, why, who is man? Why is man here? What is redemption? What's the purpose of redemption and things of that nature? That's what catechism is. The Heidelberg Catechism of the 16th century summarizes what we're talking about. And it reads, quote, "Providence is the almighty and ever-present power of God by which he upholds, as with his hand, heaven and earth and all creatures, and so rules them." Rules what? All the creatures. Dash. "That leaf and blade," things that are as minor as a leaf of a tree and a blade of grass, "rain and drought, fruitful and lean years, food and drink, health and sickness, prosperity and poverty, all things, in fact, come to us not by chance, but from his fatherly hand," end quote. That's the Heidelberg Catechism.
Amen.
That's it. That's who God is. That's who your father is. That's who my father is. That's who our father is. He's in complete control. He's sovereign. Let's reread some scriptures here. Look at Exodus chapter 4, verse 11. Exodus chapter 4, verse 11. Remember, he rules all things.
Yes.
Leaf and blade, rain and drought, fruitful and lean years, food and drink, health and sickness, prosperity and poverty. All things, in fact, come to us not by chance. Let's look at verse 11. Here's proof of that in scripture. The Lord said to him, "Who has made man's mouth? Or who makes him mute or deaf? Or seeing or blind? It is not I, the Lord." Yeah, I do that. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 39. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 39. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 39. "See now that I am he, and there is no God beside me. It is I who put to death and give life. I have wounded, and it is I who heal. And there is no one who can deliver from my hand. It is I who do that, whether I do it passively or actively." Either way, either whether I allow it or actively do it. It's off me. The devil is God's devil. I remember when I first heard that, I'm like, that's crazy. But it's easy to think it through because you know the devil is not self-created. You know the devil is not eternal. Am I right?
Amen.
Yeah. So if the devil is not eternal, that means he was created. Well, who created? God did. He created him as the angel of light. Now, he did not make him evil, but he created him knowing that he was going to be evil and still went ahead and created him anyway. Judy girl, sit your tail down. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 6. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 6. First Samuel chapter 2, verse 6. The Lord kills and makes alive. That kind of fits what we just read. It is I who put to death and give life. He brings down to Sheol and raises up. First Samuel chapter 2, verse 7. Now, Sheol again is a place of the dead, the realm of the dead. He brings down to Sheol and raises up. The Lord makes poor and rich. He brings low. He also exalts. He raises the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with nobles and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he set the world on them. Wow. So I always smile when the talent of someone who was poor and nondescript counted out and they end up before kings and presidents. Think of those like Aretha Franklin. Think of Maya Angelou saying before presidents, kings. That's God. That's all God. Whether they give him any glory or not, it's still God. That's why I can rejoice in it in a sense. They're like, look at what God is doing. I'm not going to rejoice in the person per se.
Amen.
Look what God is doing. Side journey right quick. Keep your prayers open for Kanye West. Have you heard about his conversion? And the one he counts as his pastor is a church. It's right next door to the Master's College. So he's under Reform teaching. And the first few months, it appears that this is a legitimate conversion. And it is the buzz all through the Master's University. This is very exciting. Keep your prayers for him. Like one person said, he's declaring his Christianity louder than Lecrae, who was supposed to be a so-nub Christian gospel rap artist. But Kanye is loud and strong when he is. Keep him in your prayers, please. Because the enemy would love to shift him and love to desire to have him and to sift him as we keep him in your prayers. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I just thought about that because the Lord, he saves. And that's a whole nother section, the sovereignty of God in salvation.
Amen.
And the Lord reminded me, he said, I don't save any noble or mighty.
Right.
He reminded me, he said, I don't save many noble, but I do save some.
Yes.
I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah. All right, okay then. Another thing. Before we're going to get back to this. Whenever whenever, we're going to get back to this. It's another side journey a little bit. Still in the sovereignty of God. You remember when the father did wrong? The Lord God would say, kill everybody. Kids, everybody. Yeah. Throw them all. And he opened up the ground and swallowed the whole possessions and everything. I always felt sorry for the children, you know. I don't know what ages they were. But remember, there's a real big favor. There's a real big chance that God is doing those children a favor if they're young enough. Why? Because children, if you're young enough, when they die, never saw that before. I don't know how old those children are, but if they're young enough, he's actually saving them before they meet. Because other than that, that bad father and his ways is going to teach them down to those children, and they'll be just like him. And they'll say, get rid of it. I always looked at that part of it. So just give it to everybody, because they're going to teach them that. And Paul was in gangs. Paul, my brother, was in the gangs squad in Chicago, of all places. He worked with Bernie Mac's uncle, so to say, who was a police officer in Chicago. And, man, I forgot the black gangster disciples was a real big, well-known, nationwide gang out of Chicago. And I think the guy, part of it, Robert might have been his name. Anyway, the father, so you got Paul, and then you got the guy talking to Paul, Bernie Mac's whoever. The Bernie Mac guy arrested the father, Paul, Uncle Paul, when the FBI goes, he arrests the son. So there's senior and there's junior. And then junior's son was killed around 18, 19 years old. You see how that just, yeah. Man, we know that generations of being in gangs. The Lord just has mercy. When he takes those children out, depending on their youth, he's actually saving them, I believe. I know that's kind of deep to understand, but I believe that children go to heaven when they die. I believe that. Until something else shows me that differently, I will keep believing that. And it could be that he, in his infinite mercy, is saving them. Because you've seen children come up, you know, they're so beautiful and the light is on in their eyes, and then they get to learn the ways that when the light goes out, and it never recovers. Thank God he allows some of us to recover that light. The light of Jesus in our eyes. Amen. 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 Look at Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Yeah. Thank you. Okay. And he is, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. All right. Mother got it? Okay. And he is the radiance of his glory. He is Jesus, is the radiance of God's glory, the outshining, the outpouring of God's glory, and the exact representation of God's nature. That's what Jesus is, the exact representation. Of course, this scripture here letting us know that Jesus is God in nature. Not angelic, he's not an angel, he's not a being, he's God. Eternal, everlasting. And upholds all things by the word of his power. You see that? He upholds all things by the word of his power. When he had made purification of sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Let's look at some definitions of providence. For those of you taking notes, someone defines providence as God's constant care for and his absolute rule over all his creation for his own glory and the good of his people. I'm going to read that again. The providence of God. God's constant care for and his absolute rule over all his creation for his own glory and the good of his people. Why does God have constant care over everything? For his own glory, first and foremost, and then the good of his people. What is the sovereignty of God? The providence of God again? God's constant care for and his absolute rule over all his creation for his own glory and the good of his people. John Calvin once said, "Ignorance of providence is the ultimate of all miseries." That is so true. To be ignorant of the providence of God, the sovereignty of God, he said, is the ultimate of all miseries. Because if you don't believe that God is in control, then you are scary. You got to be miserable. Because then who is in control? If you think you got to be the one that's got to get in, which a lot of people are living their lives. Yeah. Oh, I got to do this thing. Yeah. I got to get this done. I got to make it happen. You get tired. Believe me, you get tired. I told you about the one young man who started smoking crack because life just got too much for him. He was always, "I got to do this. I got to do this." And he just got tired. It became overwhelming. And he went from a responsible adult to one that is very irresponsible. You can't get it done. You can't fix it. We need the help of the Holy Spirit. We need the strength of God. Thank God that we have it. We need it and we have it. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Ignorance of providence is the ultimate of all miseries. Then he goes on to say, the highest blessedness lies in the knowledge of it. It is the pillow upon which we can rest our head at night. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. He said, the highest blessedness lies in the knowledge of it, it being the providence of God. Here's a controversial statement in my notes. Though believers confess faith in a creator who continues to work in his creation, we often end up living as practical atheists. Oh. How do we live as practical atheists? Glad you asked. By failing to recognize the Lord's continual guidance and control of everything that happens. And you know we struggle. That's why we're preaching this over, and I'm saying this over from different angles and all kind of ways. Because we still struggle in believing that the Lord is continually guiding and controlling everything that happens. We just want to see the good things. We believe he's over the good things, but everything bad, we figure he's lost control. Or it's out of his control. So that's why he says in that case, we're practical atheists. Now, let's say actual, but practical. Why? God is not hearing this. Right? Atheists, believing in God. Atheists, to not believe in God. You believe that God is not in this. I don't believe God is in this. Well, in that case, you're a practical atheist for that situation. God is in all situations, controlling everything. Jesus. Do you understand that?
Yes.
Failing to recognize God's continual guidance and control of everything that happens. That's what a practical atheist is. To a failure to recognize the Lord's continual guidance and control of everything that happens. You got a testimony on that too, because even though
Your dad was laying there dying through your wife asking about somebody to come. That's the Lord still guiding. That's how I got into that situation. Did God cause your dad's death? No. Does that make sense? But did he use it? Yes. That's why God is something else. That's a perfect example of working together for good.
Yes.
You're here now because of that situation. Does that make sense? Glory to God. I'll never forget, Miss Ava, when you called me. I was coming out of Panera Bread. Always eating somewhere. And never forget it. It was a Wednesday afternoon. And that Ava was on the phone. Glory be to God. And we all, you know, if you think about it, if you get your actual atheism out of there, you'll see God in all kinds of situations. Through the death of your sister, mom's daughter, she's here. You'll see God. We just need to be taught to look. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lance here, we gotta be taught. Says it all the time to me. Thank God for a teaching ministry. We have to be taught. So instead of being mad that my father was dead and gone at 9 years old, Judy was 4, Mark was 12, mother 37 with 5 children, you look at what God brought out of all of that. My mother's a very strong woman of God, a mighty woman of faith. And he's allowed her to live to see 90 years old this past Thursday, Friday. That's the grace of God. Let us not be practical atheists. Let's not, Father God, I pray that we will no longer fail in recognizing to see your continual guidance and control in everything that happens. But we will remember first and foremost that you are continually guiding and in control of everything that happens. We'll continually remember that in Jesus' name. The word practical means so nearly the case that it can be regarded as so virtual. So you're not an actual, but in certain cases, you follow what I'm saying. We are practical. And an atheist is defined as someone who believes in God, but as if he doesn't exist. That's the part about that. Is it like God existed when the things are going good and the sunny days, but when it turned rainy and so forth, we act like God does not exist. I thought we forget God because the situation is so terrible. And God is saying, no, I'm still here. We're going to stop there. We'll pick up next week on the sovereignty of God and free will, the free will of man. We need to hear about that again. Glory be to God. Father God, we thank you for an informing word. Hopefully it was a revelatory word, bringing revelation. Because the entrance of your word gives light. We need light in this area, in this subject, because sometimes not knowing it, we are practical atheists. We tend to act like you don't even exist in certain situations, but you are always there, continually guiding and in control of everything.
Yes, you are.
Help us to always remember that, Father God. Please, in the name of Jesus. And every heart said, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.